This evening in the Gospel, we continue the introduction from Mark to this person, Jesus. And we have this introduction in Mark's typical language, which portrays Jesus, as I've been saying over the last few weeks, as a man of mystery and a man of action. He doesn't present theology and complex ideas of philosophy. Instead, he locks all of it into his story because he's a great storyteller. St. Paul later will wax eloquent with his theology. And later St. John will write at the beginning of his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Again, beautiful and profound theology. But Mark doesn't do that. Mark simply jumps straight in and begins telling this story. And the story he tells is rapid and fast-paced, but it's also packed full of meaning. Again, in the story this evening, we see him using the word "immediately" twice. Jesus left the synagogue and immediately went into Peter's house. Immediately, they told him about Peter's mother-in-law. And remember, Simon in the story is Peter before Jesus changed his name. And so in the story, we see Jesus the healer, and I would like to share with you later on three ways in which Jesus heals us. But first, I'd like to share with you some of the details from the story, because they're interesting, and they make the story come alive. First of all, the story takes place in the little village of Capernaum, a fishing village right on the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee, where Peter and Andrew, James and John, and their extended families all lived together and worked from their boats to be fishermen. And Jesus is there in that village, first in their synagogue and then in the home of Peter. This reminds us that the Gospel of Mark is rooted in the preaching of Peter, that Mark was a companion of Peter. And when we hear this immediate story of Jesus going into Peter's home, we can almost hear Peter telling the story. And maybe this immediacy of Mark's gospel comes from the character of Peter himself, because he was like that. He was rash and impetuous, quickly doing this, immediately doing that, a man of action. And so when we meet Jesus in Mark's gospel, we're meeting the friend of Peter, this attractive and difficult person that we meet in the gospels. The other thing we learn is that he goes into Peter's house, and Peter has a mother-in-law. And if he has a mother-in-law, that means he has a wife, which means I'm not the first married priest that ever existed. The other details we learn about the story is that Jesus goes in and he sees Peter's mother sick with a fever. Now, if we have a fever, this is probably nothing very serious, because maybe we're going to take some medicine and antibiotics and get better in a few days. But back in Jesus' time, to have a fever was the indication of a serious illness, maybe an infection. And maybe Peter's mother-in-law was close to death. We think this also because of the word that Mark uses. Jesus takes her hand and raises her up. And the word in the Greek for "raised her up" is used by Mark in a couple of other stories. When the little girl has just died and Jesus goes to her home, it says he takes her hand and raises her up. And when the little boy who had epilepsy fell into the fire and was then just lying there in a coma as if dead, it says Jesus took his hand and raised him up. The same word is used for Jesus himself at the resurrection. God raised him up. Therefore, Mark is packing into this story a little hint and a pointer, a foreshadowing of the resurrection. Therefore, we ask ourselves, what is Jesus' healing like? It's like the resurrection. In the resurrection, Jesus was not just resuscitated the way a person whose heart stops might be resuscitated and brought back to life, only to die again. The resurrection was not Jesus the zombie, the living dead, walking around really dead but seeming to be alive. The resurrection was not just a ghost. The resurrection was Jesus of Nazareth being raised to a new dimension of reality, body, mind, and spirit, and therefore showing us what lies ahead for each of us who put our trust in him, that we should rise again into a new dimension of our human reality, one that is perfect and whole, one that has all of our tears wiped away, one that has all of our wounds healed, one that has all of our fears taken away, one in which we are living radiant, confident, abundant lives as God created us to be. Furthermore, this is available right here in this life. You say, what? Be perfect here and now? Surely not. Yes, because we see the lives of the saints, and the saints are people who God has transformed to be human beings on a new dimension of reality, already living the resurrection life. Yes, their bodies will die, but they will be raised incorruptible. Therefore, the healing that we're talking about is not just Jesus coming in and taking away a headache or healing cancer or making a person physically better. The healing is a healing of body, mind, and spirit. The healing of the whole person. Therefore, let's consider this for a moment. You and I are created in God's image. Therefore, if God is a holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it should follow that you and I are also little holy trinities. And so we are. Each of us a unique blend of body, mind, and spirit. We sometimes like to think that the spirit or soul is centered in our heart, but we know that's not true. We sometimes think that the mind is centered in our brain, but we know that's not true. Instead, the soul and the mind are infused into every aspect of our body, so that we are a little holy trinity, body, mind, and spirit. And in the gospel, this is beautiful. In the gospel, Jesus comes and he ministers to all three aspects of the human person. We see him go and heal Peter's mother-in-law of her physical illness. And it says that many others came and were also healed of their physical illnesses. So he ministers to the body. But he also preaches the truth. It says he went around preaching in their synagogues. He says, that's why I came. And it is the truth, brothers and sisters, which purifies and heals our mind. Our minds in this modern age are so polluted with greed, polluted with materialism, polluted with lies from the media, polluted with bad memories from the past, polluted with emotions that are wounded, polluted in so many ways. And the preaching of the truth and the meditation on the truth of God's word and on the writings of the saints and the teachings of the church actually purifies and heals our mind. Have you ever seen it that way? That the closer you get to God's truth, the more your mind will be healed and restored and renewed. If you want to have your mind and your emotions and your memories renewed and healed, read a chapter of the Bible every day. Say your Holy Rosary and meditate on the mysteries of the gospel. And you will find healing for your memories, healing for your wounded emotions, healing for your rage, healing for your jealousy, healing for your anger, healing for your pride, all those things that pollute your mind. Finally, why does Jesus cast out the demons? Why does Mark tell us about him casting out the demons? Because he is also ministering to our eternal souls. The demons are the ones who, in the gospel, have taken control of the soul, taking control of the person's eternal spirit, and Jesus drives them out and heals the person in their soul as well as in their mind, as well as in their body. And this is the truth that we have to draw from this gospel. A reminder that the church does in the world today what Jesus did when he was here. This is not just a 2,000-year-old story. This is alive in the world today. The church does in the world today what Jesus did when he was here. And what he did when he was here was he healed people in body, mind, and spirit. And so the church does today what Jesus did when he was here, and she does so through the beautiful mystery of the seven sacraments. The church administers the sacraments. Nobody else can do that. I can remember when I was chaplain at St. Joseph's Catholic School, I had a Baptist family come and talk to me. The mom and dad came and said, "We don't know what to do. Our 10th grade son says he doesn't want to go to church anymore." I said, "Well, why is that?" He says that he can read the Bible and pray to Jesus at home. And I said, "Well, he's right, isn't he?" That was not what they wanted to hear. And I said, "Why should he go to church?" And they said, "Well, because we told him to." And I said, "But you know, no, why should he go to church? Does your church tell him that he has to go to church to be saved?" "Well, no, we don't believe that." I said, "We do." They said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, Catholics go to church because not just to hear a homily, not just to meet one another, not just to get a pep talk about how to make the world a better place, not just to be respectable and brag that we went to church on Sunday." I said, "Catholics say that when you go to church, Mass, you receive the sacrament of our Lord's body and blood. And you can't do that at home on your own. You need the church. You need the priest. That's why Catholics say you have to go to Mass on Sunday." Well, the mother was thinking this through, and the father said, "You know, that's really interesting. I'd like to learn more about the Catholic faith." At which point the mother said, "I think we need to go, darling." And so you see, the church does in the world today what Jesus did when he was here. And through the seven sacraments, God ministers to us body, mind, and spirit. Think about it. When you come to Mass or you receive any of the sacraments, you hear God's word spoken and preached for the renewal of your mind. Also, you receive some sort of physical touch. Water, bread, wine, candles, light, the laying on of hands. These things are the physical aspect of God's salvation and healing for us. And through these things, we believe that our souls are saved, our souls are renewed, the evil is cast out, and we're put on the right road to heaven. Therefore, in Mark's gospel, all these truths are embedded in the story of Jesus. And all these truths are alive and real in the world today. And that's why I'm here. And that's why you're here, to meet Jesus Christ, this man of action and this man of mystery. Amen.